It's been a quiet, lovely week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. The weather's just been gorgeous. It was warm this last week. It was up in the 80s. There was a little bit of rain, not enough, but there's never enough. Graduation is next week on Thursday, and everything is slowing down, and in the churches, as we come into the summertime, Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery is selling ice cream cones just left and right. Four teenagers working there, scooping the cones. They're very busy in the late afternoon and in the evening as well. Four teenagers, three girls, and one boy who felt so lucky to get this job. And now it's not even the 1st of June, and they're completely bored by it. But this will be good. They'll learn about boredom. They will learn how to endure it. And they will learn that part of their job is to help your crew survive all of this boredom. Conversation, even shy people, have to take part in this little social interaction, people, to help the others get through it. That's how you do it. You help each other. You talk. You tell stories. You tell jokes, if necessary. And you learn that everybody has to endure some boredom in life. You don't want to make it your life, but a little bit. And out there is this magnificent world, growing, burgeoning, so gorgeous, and all of the animal life appearing now that we've been missing up there in the frozen tundra all these months. There was a bat appeared at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church and was flying around the sanctuary. The interim pastor, Pastor Howard, panicked and went down into his office and locked his door and told Maureen to take care of it, the secretary. So she did. She got out a cardboard box and she blocked it with the box, and she got it up against a window and she eased it into the box. She had a glove on her hand, and she carried the box down to his office and knocked on the door and took the bat out and held it by its wings. And she said, "God created this, Pastor." He shrank back. He crapped in his pants almost. It was a cruel thing to do, but she despises him so deeply. He's such a slacker. He's such a narcissist. He's so incompetent. The church has a way to take care of heretics. It does not know how to deal with incompetent people. And here he is. The sermon last Sunday was just one of his worst, and that's saying something. The gospel was from the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And somehow Pastor Howard connected this to a train trip he had taken with his aunt to Chicago and the yard work that he did growing up in Dubuque. And Marlene just sat back in her pew. She was rolling Kleenex into a hard ball. She wanted to throw it at him. She wanted to stuff it down his throat. This man, she's in all-out battle against him. How can he not see what is going on all around us this time of year? Three calves were born up at the Hansen's farm, and two baby goats, the turtles, are coming up onto the grass to lay their eggs. The frogs are courting. The males are chasing the females and singing to them. The June bugs are smashing into the screen doors. The lightning bugs are flashing. Life going on all around us. And this last Wednesday night was the spring concert up at the high school. The band and the choir combined. The gymnasium was packed with people, students and the band members' parents and their grandparents and their aunts and uncles. It was just crammed with people. It was like a greenhouse. It was so hot in there. But it was so, so beautiful. The choir sang Shenandoah. They sang Blackbird Singing in the Dead of Night. And the band played the American Salute, and they played Take the A Train. And people were staring at the girl in the choir and the boy in the band who got engaged last week. They're seniors. They didn't tell anybody, but still everybody knew about it. You could just tell by the way they were around each other. And she did have this little ring on her finger. They talked about this. She wants to go off to the university and study landscape architecture. and build parks. And he's a mechanic at Krebsbach Chevrolet, Ronnie is. And he adores her. He adores her. She has these big plans, and he just wants to go on living in Lake Wobegon. How can this possibly work out? Her father laid down the law that they could not get married until she graduates from college. But what power do fathers have nowadays? This is not the Middle Ages. They can't live without each other. He's always holding on to her. It's an amazing romance. She has big ambitions, and he's filled with loyalty. It's like a romance between a border collie and a thoroughbred. How can you say nothing goes on in small towns? There's a novel here. Who knows how this will come out? But everybody was watching them. And when they played this love song, "I'll See You in My Dreams," and Ronnie stood up and took the tenor sax solo, he looked at Amber the whole time, the whole time.